All right, today is July 20th, year 2008. It's the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, feast day St. Margaret, and also St. Elias, the great prophet of God from the Old Testament era. We're going to make a brief comment on the gospel reading today. This thought just came to me when I was reading the gospel today about the self-righteous Pharisee. And you know who he represents? All these nominal Catholics. And when I use the word nominal Catholic, I mean are not really Catholic. They think they are. They profess themselves to be Catholic, but they're really actually heretics or schismatics or a combination of both. I've been accused of being like a Pharisee or a Donatist. I really think you got to be perfect or you can't come into his camp. Our job is to be perfect. It's everything we preach in the Catholic Church here to the brothers and to anybody who wants to convert. What do we preach to them? Abjuration. Confession of sins. Repent. Like the guy in the back who sat down and beat his breast and said, Lord, I am not worthy to approach your altar. For I am a sinner. He did a humble confession before the Lord. The hardest problem we have with these nominal Catholics, and all of them really, is getting them to abjure and confess their sins. You can never say any one of them ever did anything wrong. The minute you condemn them because they condemn something they're doing as sinful and denounce them as sinners, or they get all up in arms with non-judgmentalism. You have no right to judge me. You have no right to condemn. So what are they really saying? They're the self-righteous Pharisees sitting up in the front of the Mass and saying, Lord, I am holy. I am perfect. And if I've done anything objectively sinful, I'm not subjectively guilty. I'm never guilty. They are all self-righteous bastard Pharisees. We in Mary's little remnant are the humble little men in the back beating our breasts and saying, Lord, we have sinned grievously against you. We have attended Mass at non-Catholic churches and put the sacraments before the faith. I have committed many sins in my life and I will do so no more. Purify me and make me holy and perfect. We're the humble ones who are making the confession. And we tell people before you come into Mary's little remnant, you better humble yourself and make your confession. You better make your abjuration or you have no room in the Catholic Church. You can't even accuse any one of these persons of anything serious at all. They won't even let you get on their websites to debate them unless you agree not to condemn anybody. What's non-judgmentalism but a whole bunch of self-righteous Pharisees going to Mass every Sunday and receiving the Holy Communion sacrilegiously and thinking they're in a state of grace when they're in a state of damnation. They're all the self-righteous Pharisees. And who was that self-righteous Pharisee that our Lord was talking to? He supposedly was a believing Jew, but he was only a nominal Jew. He didn't really believe in true Judaism because he didn't accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And here he is up in the front of the church saying, I'm doing all the Catholic exterior devotions. I have the Mass. We go to confession on Sunday. We have a priest. We have a bishop. Even though he's an apostate and heretic, they don't care about that. And they think that that's making them holy. See, it's the opposite of what people say about us. They think we're being the self-righteous ones. I'm not being self-righteous. I know by God's grace is how come I can become righteous. Without His grace, I can do nothing. But I know I have to cooperate with that. And I'm demanded. We have to obey God's commandments. And that's what we preach here. We preach humility. It takes humility to say, I was a rotten, lousy myself. I call a lot of people bastards out there. They can get angry. So I don't care. I was a bastard. I was the biggest bastard that ever could walk the face of the earth. I, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, when I lived as a pagan in that world, was a bastard. And by Jesus and Mary, I'm cleaned up and I'm getting more perfect every year. And it takes work along with God's grace. It takes humility to admit what I just said. Another one of these nominal guys we were arguing with. At one time he thought that he really was guilty when he was attending the SSP 10 churches. He stays home now. But now he comes out and says, you know, well, maybe I'm not really that guilty now because I read an article about, you know, you got to know you're guilty. How many heretics ever think he's a heretic? Every way to a sinner seemed right to himself. Proverbs 12:15 is one of those verses. So they have a theology today that even if these guys done wrong, they really weren't guilty because they didn't know they were doing wrong. Well, how many people actually know they're doing wrong or they wouldn't do it? You know, even though they are doing wrong. A lot of times your conscience indicts you, but most times you think you're doing right. That doesn't mean... Did Martin Luther think he was a heretic? No, he didn't. He thought he was right. And Calvin thought he was right. Henry VIII thought he was right. According to their theology, really nobody is really actually guilty. And the minute we try to tell these people, humble yourself before us, we can't even get them to make a profession of faith to us. We can't even get them to tell us what they believe in. You have no right to ask me what I believe in. You have no right to tell me that I committed adultery because I'm fooling around with my neighbor's wife. That's not your... What do you mean I have no right? It's my obligation. You have no right to tell me that I'm a heretic because I believe an apostate Jew who practiced Judaism can also be a Catholic. You have no right to tell me that I'm a heretic because I'm teaching Catholics are allowed to knowingly pray in communion with non-Catholics. They'll say all things like that, right? They're the self-righteous Pharisee in the front of the room and says, Lord, I am holy. And if I've ever perchance done anything wrong, I wasn't really guilty. It's not my fault. These nominal Catholics, especially these traditionalists, are the worst self-righteous Pharisees. Look at them every time they go to Mass on Sunday. They're that Pharisee that comes up because, of course, they're receiving, thinking they're in a state of grace, when they don't care one bit what that person believes who's sitting right next to them in the pew or behind them or in front of them. If any one of them even got into any lengthy conversation after Mass about the faith, you start having fireworks going, but they'd be disagreeing with one another. And that's why the priests don't allow too many conversations after Mass. But even when they disagree with another, they're still timid. They never call a heresy a heresy. For instance, when apostate Pope John Paul II kissed the Quran, that's not just a scandal. It's an act of idolatry. It's apostasy from the Catholic faith by kissing the Quran. You never hear that from these people. We say, we call the sin a sin. And we tell the sinners to repent and get down on their knees before God and say, I'm a rotten bastard sinner. Don't start saying, maybe I sinned. Maybe I'm guilty. I'm not sure. I'm here to tell you, you are guilty. You have sinned and you're on the road to hell. And you're going to find out on your judgment day when it's too late. And they say, all I got to do is go to Mass and it's a good Mass and it's a holy Mass. I'm going to heaven and go to confession and abuse the sacrament. And they all get consolations thinking they're right, and they're all darn wrong. Every one of them. And when they go before their judgment day, like Father Wickens did, you're damned and you're in hell forever. I'm here to tell you that. And I'm here to tell you that we're not the self-righteous ones. You guys are. We're not the Donatists who says everyone has to be totally perfect. We know people come into this camp are going to have to work out their salvation in fear and trembling, even as we do. But we require them to work out their salvation, to make progress, to go forward and to not go backward. And our job is here to help them on that road. St. Paul says rebuke one another, and all admonish and rebuke one another. Romans 15:14 or something like that. Also in 1 Timothy 4, 2-4, he says, rebuke and admonish your brothers. But that's throughout the scriptures. St. Paul is constantly, and our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, if thy brother sin against thee, rebuke him. If he does penance, forgive him. That's Luke 17:3. So us and Mary's little remnant are the humble little ones who admit that without God's grace, we are nothing. I know what it's like when you don't have God's grace because I was such a bad sinner and God turned his back on me after he petitioned me. Only the Lord knows how many times he was trying to make me listen to him, and I never listened when I was younger, and I was outside the church, and I was getting worse and worse. All right, so I know what it's like to be bad, and I know what you need to do to become good. And the first thing is to get that humility in your heart and get down on your knees and say, I was a rotten bastard. Say, why do people don't like that word bastard? Because no one thinks anyone's a bastard anymore. No one thinks anyone... Well, that's what's so rough about that word? Jesus Christ called the Pharisees serpents, a den of thieves, white as sepulchres, sons of the devil. Okay? Sons of the devil is pretty rough, right? But what is all has to do with is everybody is like this Pharisee in the gospel of today. Now, Martin Luther had the audacity. He was even worse in a way. He says, I'm a sinner, and it doesn't matter because we're all going to sin and we can't sin as long as I believe in Jesus and going to heaven. That's even a worse doctrine. But he was being self-righteous too. And he did away with all this idea of working out your salvation in fear and trembling. The guy in the back of the church is afraid. He fears God. He fears his judgment day. He fears that even if he's had sins, are they forgiven? That's a proper Catholic attitude. That's why people don't want to come in here, because they are full of pride. They are so full. When you hear them talking, they always have to go and compliment and respect one another and never be too harsh and never, ever judge anybody. Never, ever see anybody's in mortal sin. Don't ever tell anybody they're on the road to hell. No, you're not allowed to do that. Although our Lord Jesus Christ said most people go there. But we're not allowed to tell anybody they're going there. They have everybody going to heaven. And if they say, well, maybe not everybody's going, but you can't tell nobody that they're going to hell. So you're not out there warning people that, hey, you know, if most people are going to hell in this world, let's take a gambling man. Guys that like to gamble. And let's say only one out of every million people get saved. I think it's even worse than that. Who's going to take odds like that in a gambling game? Forget it. It's a scary thing to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. So we're telling these people out here now, don't be like that. All these traditional so-called Catholics are apostates, they're heretics, and they're schismatics. And they are committing multiple mortal sins. While they go up to the altar, kneel down and go, Lord, I am righteous. I am holy. We are not like the rest of those people out there. We're not like... And what do they think is the biggest sin that we're committing here? By fulfilling our Catholic obligation, by judging them rightly to be obstinate, notorious sinners. That's why they're angry at us. All right? And they're angry at us because we have already humbled ourselves and admitted and confessed our own sins. So they say, if I listen to what Ibrani's saying, I have to stop breaking God's commandments. And I have to do what Moses said in Deuteronomy 11:26-28. When he said, behold, this day I set before thee a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I show you this day. A curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God, but revolt from the way which I now show you. And Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And that's what we're preaching, and that's what they're breaking. And they don't want to keep the commandments. Ask yourselves, people in these chapels, does anybody ever come up to you, any presenter tell you you can't receive or kick them out of the chapel because they're notorious sinners and banish them from coming back? And actually get up in the pulpit and start talking about specific mortal sins that people are absolutely guilty of without putting in the formal, material, subjective, objective argument? They can't even really say for sure if the apostate antipopes are really guilty. That goes contrary to everything in the gospel in which our Lord God tells us to rebuke the sinner, all right, and forgive him if he does penance, which requires a judgment. And St. Paul says in Romans 16:17-18, he says, brethren, mark those who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. For such as these please not Christ our Lord, but their own belly, and by pleasing speeches and good words, they seduce the hearts of the innocents. Throughout the scriptures, we're told that there's some men's sins are manifest. And when their sins become manifest, it's a Catholic obligation to rebuke the sinner, to instruct the ignorant, and to try to convert the unbeliever. And that's what we're doing here. And that's not what any of these guys are doing. If they even do it anyway, it's a meager attempt. Very weak. They're even now telling people things that are sinful are not even objectively sinful anymore in the moral realm. And also, more importantly, in the realm of faith. You can now pray in communion with non-Catholics. You can say Muslims worship the true God and be treated as a Catholic. The apostate bastard Father Brian Harrison and the apostate bastard Francis Maloof, the man's ready to die and go to hell. I was thinking of writing him a letter to give him one warning, but I'm not going to do it because he's been warned enough. I looked at him. I saw his face. This man's on the edge of hell. Mr. Big Philosopher. Look where it got him. To teach something as ugly and blasphemous as Muslim, that he believes Muslims worship the true God. When they deny Jesus Christ, they deny the Holy Trinity. I ask you, is the Holy Trinity God or is he not God? And if he's God, don't you dare tell me the Muslims worship that God when they specifically deny him. You understand how evil it is what these guys are? And they're attending Mass today and talking about how strict I am or whatever. What? To obey God's commandments? You guys are liberals. You guys are a bunch of liberal gangsters that are breaking God's commandments and you're allowing other people to break it. And nobody ever comes in your group and condemns what you're doing or denounces you because that's part of their ground rules. No more condemnations. No more denunciations. These guys are all a bunch of gangsters that made a pack in the back room. No condemnations and no denunciations. How does that fit? That fits the self-righteous Pharisee. I'm over here telling you that you better get right with God because almost every only people I know in the church right now is us few people in Mary's little remnant. Like Noah's Ark. And all the rest of you are in a state of damnation. That is a fact that you will find out on your judgment day. I'm not here to flatter you and try to tell you how nice and good you are in the eyes of God. You rot and you stink. And look at the world that you live in. Look at the world you live in and look at your own families when you go home. I know because I've been out in that world and I don't want no more part of it. The world needs a strong dose of the humble sinner who's in the back of the church beating his breast on his knees saying, oh my God, what have I done? When God enlightened me with my sins, I got down on my knees. It was a moment of grace and I saw how ugly I was. And everything I was doing was so ugly. I seen all the excuses I made when I sinned and God showed it to me. And I confessed it and I abjured and I came into the church. That's what we're asking people to do and that's what they don't want to do. Because democracies have told people that no matter what you believe in, you're right. Everybody's equal. Everybody has a right to do whatever they want. Oh, of course, except if you're a true Catholic. Because we tell people they don't have the right from God to do what they want. We upset the rotten apples in this democratic system. that says nobody can judge anybody, everybody's allowed to do whatever they want, which is even against common sense that even pagans have. Even a pagan can realize that. So that's what we're up against in this world, you know. We're up against people that are out there going to Mass today, kneeling down, with their hands up real nice, feeling real cozy and self-righteous, and they are the most ugliest, worthless sinners, abusing our Lord's precious body, blood, soul, and divinity every week, going to confession on Saturday and Mass on Sunday, committing the same old sins during the week, sins of omission, innumerable. You can't even imagine the sins of omission they commit during the week after they leave Mass and forget about Jesus and Mary when they go out in the workplace and act like the rest of the pagans, or keep their mouth shut when they should open it, or go places where they should not go, and let their children do things what they should not do, because they don't have to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. And because there's nobody out there to warn them anymore, because everybody became a non-judgmentalist. We talk about the three H words that are never used anymore. Going back for years now, folks, the three H words. Heresy, heretic, and hell. Get rid of those words, and then guess what happens? Nothing ever matters anymore. Nothing ever matters. No one could be teaches heresy. Nobody's a heretic. Look at all these theologians that talk about people contradicting dogmas, going against the magisterium, but not once saying it's a heresy. And not once denouncing the person as a heretic. And not once saying you're on the road to hell. And not once saying most people are going to hell. And not preaching to their flock when they know they got obstinate sinners. And looking them in the eyeball and saying, you, sonny boy, are going to hell now. You're on that broad road and I warned you. And you're corrupting the rest of the flock, like St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, a little leaven to corrupt the whole lump. Now get out of my church and don't come back till you amend your ways and you want to get right, because you're corrupting my flock. Out of here now. And you warn everybody. This is what a good priest does. This is what a good Catholic does. He does not let an obstinate public sinner remain in the flock and corrupt it. Today, if anybody ever did that, everybody would get it and walk out. Oh, how dare him. And you, woman in the back there, stop being a feminist. Stop cooking for your husband and cleaning your home and taking care of your children. And start dressing modest and put on dresses. Oh, they're going to go crazy. You see? Because they all think they're good and they're all going to heaven. They're all the guy right in the gospel we read about. Look how righteous I am. If you only knew how ugly you look in the eyes of God. That self-righteous Pharisee denied Christ. He was the son of a devil. He was a serpent and a hypocrite. A whited sepulcher who our Lord talked about. That's what these guys are in the so-called Catholic movement. I despise them more than anybody. I'd rather have them go out and call themselves Buddhists and Hindus and Protestants or Muslims, but don't call yourself Catholic. And I'm telling all you good-willed non-Catholics out there, I don't know where you are, but I know you're out there. I'm preaching for your conversion. Don't listen to these bastards that call themselves Catholic. Anybody who knows a little bit about history about the Catholic Church knows that they're not Catholic. Because they're not teaching Catholic things, they're not speaking like Catholics, and they're not acting like Catholics are supposed to act. You know it. I debated Protestants and they know it. I do. They know it. They say, Richard, I know what your teaching really is, what the church always taught. And I have a problem understanding how can you have a papal infallible, but things change upside down and now what was true is no longer true anymore, and what Catholics used to do, they're not doing anymore. But that's part of the great apostasy that St. Paul said will come in these final days, and the falling away to Gentile nations when you're going to have no more Catholic nations anymore. Oh, the worst part is that I wish they would not call themselves even Catholics anymore. Then people could see it clearly. But if you're looking with the eyes of faith, and you have the faith, you can see they're not Catholic. Jesus, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, said, you're not a Jew. A true Jew is, in that day, and even now, really, is considered somebody who's faithful to the true religion. Who's faithful to Abraham. Which means in the New Covenant, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and be Catholic. So he's saying, you're a son of the devil. If God were your father, you would believe in me. But because God is not your father, and the devil is your father, you don't believe in me, and you don't believe in Moses neither, because Moses wrote about me and preached about me. And he was talking to all these people who thought they were good Jews. And they were rotten to the core. It's reversed itself. These nominal Catholics are where these evil Jews are. They've now become just like the evil Jews, as St. Paul said in the end, when all is said and done, Gentile and Jew, y'all stink to hell, almost every one of you. Almost every stinking one of you is rot to hell. It has nothing to do with your race. It has to do with your faithfulness and obedience to God. And now God is going to turn his back on these nominal Catholics and these Gentiles and turn to the Jews. And he'll even turn to the Muslims. And he'll turn to maybe Protestants even. But he's definitely going to spit out these nominal Catholics. He's going to vomit all over them and spit them out if God could vomit. He'd vomit all over them. That's how disgusted he is when he looks at these nominal Catholics. They are the most evil. They are more evil than the Jews. They are more evil than the Jews who denied Christ during His first coming, because they professed to believe in Christ. They had the whole New Covenant revelation, and they had all the examples of the Old Testament, which goes wrong. St. Paul says even, all these things were done to the Jews in figures so you, as a warning to you, so you do not do the same things they do. And lo and behold, you've done the same things they did. And that's why I say nominal Catholics are quadruply guilty, more than even the apostate Jews. But they're really brothers. They're spiritual brothers. When JP2 says that he and the apostate Jews are elder brothers and their religion is intrinsic to his religion, he's right. It's all apostasy. And this is why, what do you think our Lord said in Luke 18:8? When the Son of Man comes, think he find faith on earth at all? Think he find faith at all? And I'm not allowed to go out there and tell people they don't have the faith when Jesus said almost anybody's not going to have it? Well, wake up. I'm giving you some little key things, people, to wake up. Don't listen to that bastard priest that's flattering you from the pulpit, that fairy, that effeminate little fairy bird that's up in the pulpit and he's not telling you the truth. He's not breathing fire. He's not warning you about the fire you're going to burn in when you die. The Dolans, the Chicadas, the Piveronises, the Kellys, the McKennas, all these fairy birds, all these effeminate men. They're not even men. They're not even men according to the natural law upon the heart. And I say you can't even be a Catholic unless a man first becomes a man and a woman becomes a woman. They're not men. They're effeminate little fags. Faggy little effeminates. Even a pagan on the island would know that with the natural law upon his heart. Little twinkle toes is what they are. Walking around on eggshells, telling everybody how good they are. And if everybody raises his voice just a little bit, everybody gets, oh, look at Father was a little hot under the collar, you know. I remember even before, what apostate my family is. Whenever you had a priest that got up and spoke a little bit, you know, about something, just a little bit. I don't like that priest. I'm not going back to his mass. He's too strict. If he just upped his voice a little bit, if he just condemned one sin, a minor thing even, they get all bent out of shape. Just look, what are we looking at here with this weakness? Even pagans that run a company in a police force or a military don't put up with that. How do you run a company like that? Or a military like that, you know, without disciplining people and kicking them out when they need to be kicked out? But see, when God's chosen people go bad, it proves one thing. Boy, do they go bad. They become worse than everybody in the whole world. They become, like I call, bugs in their brains. Even worse. God says it. Look what he did to the Jews when they went bad. They become insane. They become mad. They become crazy. They lose common sense. They become weak. They become fearful of everything. They can't stand up on their two feet. And anytime they try to denounce something, even halfway, they got to go out and praise the person with 10 praises before they give them one denouncement. Just listen to what's going on out there, folks. And I want you to meditate. We're not the self-righteous Pharisees. We're the people who were sinners, that by God's grace and our cooperation want to be perfect and holy. And that only happens by us admitting that without God's grace, we're wretched. And because we don't make excuses for our sins. And because we don't let anybody who wants to come into the Catholic Church make excuses for their sins. Like King David says in Psalm 144, incline not my heart to evil words, to make excuses and sins. And then Psalm 18:3 says, for my secret sins cleanse me, O Lord, and from those of others spare thy servant. And St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:4, I have nothing on my conscience, but I'm not hereby justified. We will not let you come in here and get away with making excuses for your sins. We're going to let you know what they are. And we're going to expect a confession and an abjuration or you don't come in here. Now, if you haven't overcome your sins, you're working on it, and you confess them and you know you're bad, we'll pray for you, we'll work with you, you're welcome. Even mortal sinners are welcome in here as long as they know they're mortal sinners, confess their mortal sins, and their mortal sins are not public and infecting the camp. Well, we'll work with them. And we, as long as they're making progress, we will work with them. But we will never have anybody come in here who thinks that it's okay to commit adultery, that it's okay to look at pornography, that it's okay for Catholics to pray and commune with non-Catholics, that it's okay to believe that Muslims worship the true God, that it's okay to believe that Jews who practice Judaism can die that way and go to heaven. We will not let you in here. I'm sorry, unless you make a humble confession and an abjuration and you show that you want to mend your ways. Even a good confessor will not allow a person to continue to go to his confession if he sees that person's not amending his life. That's a sure sign that his heart is not correct. This is our big... We even have catechumens coming in here, and the minute we finally get up and tell them they're doing something wrong, they get all bent out of shape because they're full of Americanism. Who's that brainy to tell me what to do? Or he told me too harshly. He didn't put ice cream on it with whipped cream and a cherry on the top before he told me. It doesn't matter how you tell them, though, folks. They still get angry. You're going to hell. That's what it is. And the greatest love you can have for anybody anyway is to tell them the truth. You know, what kind of a doctor would you think a doctor is? A person comes to him with a deadly disease that could be cured, and the doctor could cure it, and the doctor doesn't tell him he has a deadly disease. He lets him go on with the deadly disease and die. That's what these nominal Catholics, and they all walk out feeling good. Oh yeah, the person can walk out and say, I feel really good, the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. Yeah, but you're rotten on the inside, you're going to die. You got a deadly disease, I don't care what the doctor told you, he's lying. Go to a good doctor and he'll give you the medicine. We're the good doctor. But we love God first above all things, so you got to realize, when you go against God, we defend God first, the Catholic God and His Church, and then we also want to help you, the person who's ever in that sin. But our first move is to defend God, to defend the faith, and to also let these people know what they're doing wrong, what they're doing wrong. And it's not a matter of just somebody who wakes up and he puts his left shoe on his right foot and his right shoe on his left foot. Right? They're not mortally sinful about that. Right? People make little mistakes like that. Right? But you know what? They can't even be told. And just follow these people around. I said this before, folks, about these people. You can go up and tell them you tied your shoes wrong. And they go, tie my shoes wrong? Never do I tie my shoes wrong. I tie them perfect every morning. Someone had to do it on purpose. I never did that. I don't do this. I didn't do that. Even when I tell you what, I lived out in that world. Even when people are arguing over stupid things about what color a particular plant is. And you're not sure, so you give your opinion. They're not sure, but they give their opinion forcefully. It's that. Then you find out that it's really the color you said it was, and they were wrong. They don't admit it. They get all bent out. Just follow around people. How full of pride they are today. You hear this today. Everyone's allowed. It says, the truth is now what I believe it is. It doesn't matter what the truth really is. It's what I believe. It's all subjective. All right? It's what I believe it is. It's not as matter what God says it is. You know, the only truth they don't really listen to is the true truth, which is what we're teaching from the Catholic Church, because we don't allow these. Our Lord says in one of the scriptures, I think it's Proverbs 15:12 or something, it says, the Lord has given man has not given man a license to sin. The Lord has commanded no man to do wickedly, nor has he given man license to sin. And then St. Paul talks about these people that are promising you liberty are slaves of corruption. 2 Peter 2:9, he says, while promising them liberty, they are slaves of corruption. Their liberty they're preaching to you is liberty from all the laws of God. So that you can go out and follow after your lusts and follow the commandments of the devil, which are all the opposite of the commandments of God. So what we're talking to you about here today is you got to keep the commandments of God. Yes, every one of them. And you grievously break any one of those commandments, you're on the road to hell. Sorry, you don't want to obey God's commandments, you ain't got no place in here. All right, you can stay in your Protestant church and say believing in Jesus is enough. You can stay in your traditionalist so-called Catholic church and go to confession on Sunday and Mass on Sunday. It ain't going to save you without the faith and without working out your salvation in fear and trembling. It ain't going to save you. It's only going to get you a deeper pit in hell. So this is wake-up time for you people out here. And when all said and done, when you're in hell, no one's going to. You can't say you weren't warned. I can now see how many times in our Lord, and what's the verse that really is so sad is John 12:37. I think it's that verse. Where it says, and whereas Jesus has done so many miracles before them, they believe not in him. And Moses, all the miracles God did through Moses when he came out of Egypt by parting the Red Sea and the 10 plagues of Pharaoh. Parting from the core, the schism of core, and sending all those people into hell, and they still rebelled against Moses. You better wake up, people, and realize that the majority, if almost not down to the last person of the human race, is rebellious and evil. God said to Moses on Mount Sinai, I regret the day in which I had made mankind. He said it to Noah in the ark, and I'm telling you now again that you are rebels, and democracy is based on rebellion. Everybody can do what he wants and everybody's equal. Nobody has to obey hierarchic order. And even in that, that's just an illusion because there is a hierarchic order even in their satanic democracies hiding in the background that you may not see, but his name is Satan and he really is ruling you. No one's truly free no matter what. You can't be. You're either going to serve Satan or you're going to serve Christ. And it's the Catholic Christ. is the true Christ. Everybody else out there who's not truly Catholic is worshiping a false god and is in the kingdom of Satan. This is my warning to you out there that you've been indoctrinated by these flattering satanic people that are trying to tell you that you're all good, we all worship the same God no matter what we believe about Him, or no matter what we do, and we can do whatever we want, and we're free to do whatever we want. I tell you, that's a lie, and even common sense can tell you that's a lie. That you're all a bunch of rebellious bastards who've rebelled against the one true God. And God is going to allow you to get what you want. The big A Antichrist. He's all yours in your face. And He's going to rip you to pieces. I know what He's like. I know what Satan's like. Watch out when He comes. And I'm going to sit back and, like God says, you think you can laugh at God? God gets the last laugh. That beast is going to rip up people. He's going to be a minister of God's justice. God is using the Antichrist to punish the people with what they desire. And your only way out is by listening to us here at Mary's Little Remnant, St. John the Baptist website. That's where you're going to find your salvation in the true Catholic faith. You think you can find it somewhere else? Go ahead. That's your problem. You're free. You have the free will to do what you want, but not the right from God. That's another thing. God respects free will, doesn't He? Because if He didn't, He wouldn't let this happen, what's happening today. He gives people ultimately what they want in the end after they don't listen to Him. A parent, what parent? How many times will a parent warn a kid who's bad till they finally break him loose and cut him out of the house? And say, I tried, we warned you 10 times, get out, sonny boy. And that's what God does to the human race. So He's turned them over to the Antichrist. So I'm telling all you people out there that, especially these, watch out for these so-called traditionalists. They call themselves Catholics. They're not. Anybody who knows the history of the Catholic Church knows what I'm saying is true. All right, they're not. These people are lying to you. They are the self-righteous Pharisee that's in the front saying, I've done no wrong, Lord. And I ran, He told me I did wrong. I ran, He condemned what I was doing. He said I committed a sin. And He denounced me. He called me a heretic. He called me a mortal sinner. He called me a drunkard. He called me an adulterer. That's right, that's what I called you. Does the shoe fit, pal, as the old saying goes? And don't think you can do these things in the eyes of God and escape guilt. It's you who did it. You commit a sin against the natural law. It's a mortal sin, period. You're denying a basic dogma of the Catholic Church. You're a formal heretic. Every Protestant is a heretic and also in schism for being separated from the Catholic Church. Jews, Muslims, other pagans are known as infidels or actually in the same class as pagans because they don't even believe profess to believe in the Holy Trinity. These are facts. They're looking at that Jew that goes into that synagogue that tells you he's a Jew and he believes in Judaism and he denies the Catholic faith and he denies the Holy Trinity. And they're telling you, these salvation heretics, that Jew can actually be an implicit Catholic. He really believes in Jesus implicitly. He really implicitly belongs to the Catholic Church while he belongs to Judaism and attends the synagogue. You tell me, how is it possible for a guy to belong to two different churches that profess completely opposite things? Does he have double membership? Did he forfeit his membership in Judaism? No, he's going here every week and professes it to everybody in the world. It's the stupidest, dumbest heresy that I've ever seen. When you could look at somebody who rejects Jesus Christ, and I don't care even if, let's talk about that pagan on the island who never heard of Jesus. You can't believe in what you never heard. And Jesus says, unless you believe in Him and profess Him with your lips and believe in your heart and profess Him with your lips and hear His word, you cannot be saved. This, I tell you, a 7-year-old kid with common sense will spit in your eye and pop you in the nose and you say something like that to him. Are you telling me that guy's actually Catholic? I just saw him going to synagogue every Saturday. I see him reading the Talmud. Are you telling me he also reads the catechism? Catholic catechism? He goes to the Catholic... Well, no, he doesn't go to the Catholic church. Well, why not? It's right down the block. You said he's a Catholic. Why... He's like, you don't understand, you see, sonny boy. You're not smart enough. You got to go to school for like 20 years, and we're going to explain to you how that guy really is going to the Catholic Church, and you don't know it. See, you know what happens? Part of him is in the synagogue, and then a ghost leaves him. There's another part of him. He's got two parts in there. And that part goes to the Catholic Church. It's where it's up in the choir loft, a little bit behind there. You can't see the people because it's a ghost, the spirit. He's out of his body. So his body's in the synagogue. His body is on Saturday, but his spirit is in the Catholic Church. You see? And that kid's going to go like this. You went to school for 20 years and that's what they taught you? I'm sorry, pal. I don't want to go to school. Come over here. I want to show you something. This is a fist. These are right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 knuckles. Ba-boom! That's a broken nose. And the blood, that's blood coming out of your nose. And you better thank God I didn't cut your head off. And don't ever talk that crap in front of me again. Or I'm going to take you down. I had priests telling me stuff. There's no such thing as a devil. Father Patterson in Newark, New Jersey, Our Lady of Good Counsel. There's no devil. Father, I mean, throughout the whole scriptures, Jesus is casting out devils. Devils is a whole part of our faith. You know what I mean? See? If I didn't have a false even then, though, that's what I really want. I wanted to hit the guy, And God probably, that's how bad I was, how weak I was, because I was in that church. It wasn't Catholic. That church wasn't Catholic. If I really had the full gumption that I should have had, I would have popped him in the nose. But I didn't respect, after that, I had no respect for him. We used to goof on him. He was nutty. They were all nutty. I mean, eccentric. Look at these priests. They're eccentric. You got that goofball up there in Rochester, New York. What's his name? Talking about psychiatrists? Vizelis? That apostate bastard? Over there talking about go to psychiatrists, and he hypnotizes his monks and stuff so that they can be chaste. What kind of a guy is this? Look at the trash that you people are going to. I tell you again, if the Lord gave me a sword big enough to wrap around this world, nominal Catholic heads are coming off quick. And I'm not talking about these I have more hope for an apostate Jew and a Muslim and a Protestant than these nominal Catholics. I say it again, I abhor them the worst. Because they call themselves Catholic and you're giving my God a bad name. I know where these other guys stand. They don't profess to believe in a Catholic God. You guys do. And I'm letting the world know that that's not true Catholicism. It's me calling you to conversion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.